That said, joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair right now here on Brad and Dan is Brenda Watson, Acting Director of Operation Fuel. And Brenda, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Gee, Brenda, I saw this where the home energy affordability gap continues to grow. Explain to our audience, first of all, what is the home energy affordability gap?
We hired, actually it was the vision of Pat Rice over 10 years ago to put the energy affordability issue using an economic calculator. So Roger Colton out of economist out of Boston, he conducts this study for us each year. And what the gap analyzes is the bills that folks who are at 200% of the federal poverty level or under, their energy bills and what they can't afford. So the gap is not even what the energy bills are, it's what they can't afford after they've paid their bills. So households under 200% of the federal poverty level have an energy affordability gap of $1,400.
Do we know how this compares to previous years in Connecticut?
The gap has gone up $51 million from last year, and we are still at a constant 300,000 households that cannot afford their energy bills in Connecticut.
Is this where Operation Fuel comes in, Brenda?
Yes. So Operation Fuel, we do our best to provide relief to folks who are struggling with their energy costs. We serve on average 6,000 to 8,000 households a year, so that's not even touching the surface of this issue, that there are 300,000 households in Connecticut who cannot afford their energy bills. So, we do our best. We're looking at other methods to help people along in terms of providing them access to weatherization programs. And we also have a furnace replacement and repair program to help folks who are struggling with that. Because if you have a poor furnace or a furnace that's operating inefficiently, then you're absolutely going to use more energy. So, we're exploring in other program areas to improve our level of service to people who are struggling with their home energy bills.
How, and you can explain this to our audience, Brenda, how are these other households getting by? And remember, we're talking households, so the number of people affected by this is larger than this number, but how are they getting by to receive help from Operation Fuel?
Well, the state does have an energy assistance program that usually serves around 99 to about 100,000 households in Connecticut. So again, we're still not touching the surface of the folks who are struggling with this. And folks in Connecticut are very resilient, and they'll get by and struggle without even seeking assistance. So those are the people that we're trying to reach out to, that you don't have to sit in the dark, you don't have to sit in the cold. There is help out there. I mean, we can't guarantee that everyone will receive assistance, but there are folks who will stay in a cold household for months without seeking assistance. So, we do our best, and we're hoping that in working with our partners who are in this industry, folks at the state, different state agencies and other community partners, we're working together to create a comprehensive strategy to get everyone down to paying 6% of their income on energy, not just the population that we serve. We want all Connecticut residents to reduce their energy uses and their bills.
Okay, Brenda, hang in there. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with our guest, Brenda Watson. She is Acting Director of Operation Fuel. And in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Brenda Watson. She's Acting Director of Operation Fuel. And we are talking about the home energy affordability gap here in the state of Connecticut. Brenda, what is it over the last year? Are more people now falling within these levels who need help? Why has that gap increased?
The energy prices have gone up, plain and simple. The higher the energy prices, the higher the gap, or the wider the gap. And we actually raised our income guidelines from 60% of the state median income to 75% of the state median income. To give you an example of what that looks like, a household of four with an income of $82,000 or less can apply for Operation Fuel Assistance. And we are actually finding some from the day of our program opening that not only are people who are at the higher income range applying for our assistance, but we have people who are exceeding that amount also still seeking assistance. We're talking about folks who may have earned a few extra dollars over the holiday break, and they're over by a couple of $100, and they're still struggling with this.
Yeah, how does that happen if somebody does work an extra job and, like you say, they don't meet the threshold anymore, but it's only by a couple of $100s, then they no longer qualify for the program?
Well, we're willing to make exceptions depending on, you know, what's happening in the household. If it's a vulnerable household, meaning there are children under five or there's a senior in the household, and if there's a crisis situation, you know, that there are folks who might get shut off or be without heat, we're willing to make an exception. But, excuse me, it's really quite surprising to us to have seen this level of demand, though, because we really weren't expecting for folks to who were at the higher income level to apply. We thought that maybe we would get a couple or a handful, but we certainly wasn't expecting to see what we've seen.
But again, what you're saying is a family of four, $82,000, they would qualify.
They would qualify, and, you know, that's gross annual. So you know that once taxes are paid and once the rent or mortgage is paid, once you gas up the car and once you buy food, there isn't much left because you still have to keep your heat and your lights on. And it all adds up. We're finding that the average low to moderate income household is paying anywhere between 10 to 24% of their household income on energy. And if folks are paying perhaps up to 30% of their income on housing, that's nearly half of your income gone already out the door. So there really isn't much left at the end of the month.
We're not even talking about automobiles, if you've got a car payment, or just the day-to-day expense of owning an automobile. This is really eye-opening, Brenda.
Absolutely. So you touch on a very strong point that so you've got your three major expenses there, housing, transportation, and home energy. And you, like you said, you're not even thinking about some of the little things. And if you have children who need basic necessities, school supplies, it gets very tight for people.
You know, Brenda, you mentioned in this report 320,000 Connecticut households. So just for conversation purposes, if you're figuring there are four people in a household, you're talking over 1 million people. Would that be fair to say who are affected by this?
Individuals, yes. You're talking a lot of people in Connecticut.
I mean, that's a third of the population at least. This is, wow, this is really eye-opening. And what I find interesting, you're saying one of the reasons that this increase is being driven is because of an increased cost in fuel. And when you look at it, even though home heating oil has gone up, it's far from the days when it was over $3 a gallon.
Absolutely. That's another good point that it's, you know, it's actually cheaper than gas, home fuel or home oil. And it's still unaffordable. And then again, we also have the electric and gas rates that are high. We have the highest in the nation. So it's kind of shocking to think that even with oil prices being what they are, it's still unaffordable for a large population in our state. And again, our study only analyzes household incomes of people with who are at 200% of the federal poverty level. And I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure if we were to analyze higher incomes we would see that 300,000 households would probably be, if not double, maybe even triple.
Wow. This is an eye-opener. It really is. Is it too late for people to qualify for assistance this year through Operation Fuel?
Absolutely not. Our program opened on December 1st. We're hoping to stay open until the end of May. The two ways in which you can seek assistance are to go to the Operation Fuel website, which is operationfuel.org. We have a fuel bank finder on the website that allows you to type in the name or, the name of your town or city. And once you do that, the fuel bank that's closest to that town or city will pop up with the hours of operation and contact information. The second way that you can get connected to a fuel bank that's closest to you is by calling 211. And 211 will, in addition to telling you where the closest fuel bank is to you, they'll give you the information on what to bring with you. So the documentation that you need to bring with you to your appointment. And they'll also help you access other programs that folks, you know, might be in need of, such as food or housing assistance. So 211 or the Operation Fuel website.
Now, if someone wants to make a donation, I know we can donate through our electricity bills. How else can we donate?
You can go to our website and donate online. Yes, and the add-a-dollar program on your electric bill is and your gas utility bill is another way to help our organization. That's through the add-a-dollar program. And or you can mail us a check at 75 Charter Oak Avenue, Suite 2240, Hartford, Connecticut, 06106, and make that out to Operation Fuel.
Brenda, do we know how much that add-a-dollar program generates a year for Operation Fuel?
We've actually seen a slight increase over last year. So this year we raised $600,000 from that program, and 100% of that goes right back into grants to help folks who are struggling with their home energy.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I was just thinking as we talk about this, I wonder how many people, Brenda, are too proud to seek assistance, particularly our older generation who, you know, just might be too proud to ask for help who really need it.
We see it all the time. Very often we'll get phone calls from, you know, children who are living out of state, who are checking in on their parents or may have sent a neighbor to check in on their parents, and the house is cold. And it had been cold for a while. And it's because, you know, the, you know, parent has not sought assistance when they were struggling. And or they're keeping the thermostat at a temperature that's unsafe. So then it's, you know, usually the neighbor or the children who intervene and they'll call us and we'll try to figure out ways to get their parents the assistance that they need.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will heed this advice and make a donation as well. Brenda, thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning and informing our audience about this.
Thank you so much for allowing us to talk about the issue, and hopefully we can get folks help.
You bet. Stay in touch. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.